I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. Today we are at the National Equine Forum all day, and there's guest speakers talking about how we can improve the equestrian industry by working together. And one of those speakers is the lovely Sarah Phillips. She's the Chief Operating Officer at the British Horse Society. How are you, Sarah?
Very good, thank you.
Now, you are really helping us when it comes to business. You guys have this great campaign at the moment on business rates, and you're going to explain all about it. What made you originally look at the issue of business rates?
We, for a number of years, have been well aware that riding schools and livery yards have felt that they've not been fairly treated when it comes to business rates. We obviously have a number of PHS-approved centres who we campaign on their behalf, and we're their voice really when it comes to sort of talking to government and some of the issues that affect them. So over the years we had been sort of quietly working away in the background regarding business rates, and then in 2015 the government started to look at how business rates were applied, and they were going to have a reform of business rates. And at that point we, on behalf of our members, put in some consultation responses, and that's really where it all started. So we've always had our eye on the ball, as it were, with business rates. But then obviously in October last year, the new rateable values were published, and then that's what caused sort of the big hiatus that we've got at the moment.
Oh gosh, can you explain to us what is happening?
Basically, every business in the country is liable to pay business rates. And the way that the government work out how much you should pay is based on what the rental value of that business premises would be. So the higher your rateable value, as it's called, of your business, the more business rates that you will pay. Mm. So the rental values haven't been looked at since 2010, and they were then done again last year, ready for the 2017 new business rate year coming in on the 1st of April. So what happened was riding schools in particular, their rateable value, which is based on their, so say, rent, has gone up hugely disproportionately to other businesses across the sector. And we've got riding schools where their business rates are, you know, could rise by up to 300%.
My gosh, that's insane. How can they even possibly think that that's okay?
Well, exactly, and that's what we're saying. You know, we understand that everybody has to pay tax and everybody has to pay rates. That's not the issue. But we are expecting riding schools and livery yards to be treated the same as other businesses, where across the country, you know, we're being told that some people's rates won't increase at all and other people's rates will actually be dropping. But we've got this one area of the business that we're representing where they are increasing massively. We've obviously done a lot of case studies and a lot of work looking at the data. And for an example, we have a lovely small riding school in Berkshire. It's family run. They employ one person part time. The rest of the staff are the owners and family members. And their rateable value in 2010 was £5,700. That's now gone up to £18,500, which is an increase of 225%.
Oh my gosh. Surely they won't be able to survive, because they won't be able to make any money. I mean, let's be honest, that the riding industry We love it. But it's a hard slog to make any money because you've got to pay for the horses, you've got to pay for the land, you've got to pay staff. You know, it's not exactly a huge money maker, is it?
No, it isn't. And, you know, we're very close to a lot of our riding schools and they, you know, confide in us how their business is going. And there are very few that are profitable or profitable without another income source coming into that business. So, you know, we've had people on the phone saying, this is probably going to be my last year trading. I genuinely can't afford that extra £500, £1,000 a month. I don't know how I'm going to keep going. You know, and riding lessons, whether you're an adult or a child, they're hugely beneficial to people. But there's only a finite amount of money that someone has to spend on their own recreation. So, you know, this particular lady, she can't put her riding lessons up by 225% because she'd have absolutely no customers.
Yeah.
So it's completely disproportionate to the, you know, to the money-making element of that business. It doesn't reflect their profitability at all.
But also, isn't it interesting how the government have one scheme where they're trying to get more people into riding, and so they want to build participation when they're getting more people into horses. But then the other side, it's almost like the two sides aren't talking together. And the other side, they're making it really tough for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we, you know, as part of my role in the BHS, we look at participation. We run a number of projects where we get funding from Sport England, which is obviously government money, and that's looking at getting people more engaged with their horse, getting them more active, getting them riding more frequently, getting them better supported on their route to horse ownership. So that project for us has been hugely successful. We also have had in the past funding that riding schools could apply for to improve their facilities. And one of the things that Sport England said about riding schools is that sometimes their, you know, their waiting area or their toilets or their clubhouse, for want of a better word, is, you know, it is pretty mediocre, and they can be pretty cold and dingy in the winter. So we've had riding schools that have applied for funding. Luckily, they've got that funding. They've built some new facilities. They've improved, you know, the disabled access to their toilets or waiting area for parents of a weekend. And now they're getting acted really heavily on those improvements. So the government's given them money with one hand, yet they're now taking it away with the other. And it, you know, the whole getting the country active, getting everybody, you know, to be an active nation, well, actually, you're about to remove a large proportion of riding schools that help those people become active. And it might not just be because they ride there. They might be volunteers. They might be helping with some RVA sessions. They might be leaders. They might, you know, we've got lots of centres where dads sort of come along and says, oh, I can fix the fence for you. I can help you, you know, rehang the stable doors. So we've got people who volunteer in riding schools, and it keeps them active, it keeps them an interest, it keeps them busy, and all that will just disappear.
So the business rates that are increasing, it's not just for the equestrian industry, is it? It's across the board.
It is. You know, there's been a huge amount in the press over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we've got lots of other industries, not just rural businesses. So we've got veterinary surgeries, we've got dog kennels, we've got racing. They've all been hit really hard. Yet we're then being told about in the news, you know, Amazon, oh, they're going to be, their rates are falling, nuclear plants, power generators, oil refineries, all their rates are dropping. And you're thinking, okay, when was the last time anybody ever rented a nuclear establishment? So you could argue that the whole business of looking at the rental value of a property to determine their business rates is completely flawed, because how you work out what the rental value of a steelworks is, I don't know. But they're all dropping. Amazon distribution centres, they are looking at a reduction of about £11 million. Well, that is massive for a company that, you know, while they have a place in society, they have been questioned before about what they pay in taxes, etc. And your small riding school that's now going to be faced with an additional £500 a month bill is just not able to afford to pay it. And it just seems to be completely unfair that those that possibly could afford it are seeing a reduction, and those that are providing, you know, an excellent resource for the local community are actually being penalised really heavily.
Well, I did some research on this, and I did hear that if, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but if you're an academy, you get 80% relief on business rates if you're a registered academy. But the interesting thing was, I know a company that tried to apply for this because they've just launched a new academy, and the council said it's at the council's discretion. So even though the government are offering this 80% relief, it's then the individual council that get to agree, and they said, oh no, we don't think you deserve the 80% relief.
The 80% relief that I know of is for a CASC, which is a community amateur sports club. So a lot of sports clubs, say, I don't know, football, athletics, will register themselves as a CASC to get that 80% relief, which is great. Business rates are devolved to some extent to the local authority. They're responsible for collecting them, and they now have the ability to spend the money that they generate through business rates goes into the council or the local authority finances. So obviously they don't want to be giving huge amounts of rate relief, because obviously it affects their income. The 80% rate relief for a sports club is an interesting one, because in the last budget, so the 2016 budget, the Chancellor increased the threshold for small business rates relief up to £12,000. So basically, if you had a rateable value below £12,000, you don't have to pay any business rates. So we thought, well, that's great. You know, a lot of our riding schools and livery yards are small businesses. They'll fall below that £12,000. They will get 100% rate relief. Fantastic. Mm. When the new rateable values come out, all those small businesses with a small rateable value have been pushed way over the £12,000. So again, the government's given a bit of an olive branch, but actually increased everybody's rateable value so that they're not below the threshold, so they get no small business rate relief. And likewise with a club that has 80% reduction, they're not eligible for the small business rate relief. So they're actually losing out by not being able to claim that £12,000 rate relief, but because they get 80% rate relief. So there's quite a few anomalies in the whole structure.
Mm. So talking at the National Equine Forum, what can we do? How will that help us? You know, we're not going to be able to change the business rates, are we?
Well, that's what we want to do. We have been obviously campaigning, as you will have seen in the local press, or in all press, over the last couple of weeks. Every industry is out there campaigning. So, you know, the shops on the high street, pubs, all of these people that are going to be seeing a massive rise. The more people we can have campaigning, the stronger our voice. So very much by talking at the National Equine Forum, it's about making people aware of what is happening, getting them to talk to their own MPs, following what's happening in the press, raising, you know, new case studies, new concerns that they have. It might be their local riding school, it might be their own riding school, but it's very much about raising awareness. And yes, we're coming up to the budget now. It might be a bit naive of us to expect that the Chancellor's going to say, right, we're going to do this, that and the other, and it will all be good.
Yeah.
But the Chancellor is aware of what's happening. We've got a rates awareness meeting on the 1st of March, which is the day before the National Equine Forum. We are inviting all MPs in England and Wales to attend that meeting, to meet with some of our proprietors, to meet with members of the APPG, which is the All-Party Parliamentary Group for the Horse, which has a cross-body membership. And we're hoping there that, you know, MPs will hear what we're saying. They will realise that there's something fundamentally wrong with the rating system if it's about to have such a detrimental effect on one area of business, which in our case is equestrian. And if there is a vote, if there is something to be said in the House, they will be well informed and they will hopefully influence and get something changed in the budget, which would be our ideal.
Sarah, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, I love it. Fight for the cause, hey? I want to make T-shirts now saying, go Sarah.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely, because we're doing this on behalf of our members who pay us to be an approved centre, but actually we're working for all riding schools and all livery yards, because if this area of business is lost, if these riding schools close, they'll never open up again, and a whole generation of horse riders will be lost, and generations to follow. You know, they won't have the opportunity to learn to ride and to enjoy horses like, you know, we've all been fortunate enough to do.
Well, I thank you. Thank you very much for fighting on our behalf, because, you know, quite often I think little riding schools feel forgotten and they feel lost, and they're in their little village in the middle of nowhere, and they don't, even though there's so much support for them, they don't actually know that it's there. And when it's your business and you're thinking, I don't have a choice, I've got to pay these rates, I'm going to lose my business. They're losing their livelihood. There's more people out of unemployed. And also, we are working so hard to keep the industry going. We're working so hard to get new people riding, and I feel that as an industry we've got a really good momentum going. You know, we had the Olympics, and even before that, people in the industry are working so hard to show how beneficial in so many ways horse riding is. And you just feel like, oh, you've done all this work and then it's just being taken away.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we, as the BHS, we've just launched a new programme called Changing Rides Through Horses, which looks at taking disengaged young people, giving them an opportunity in a riding school environment where they can, you know, hopefully blossom, reconnect with society, reconnect with school, and go back into either employment or into education. And we know that, you know, there are a lot of young people who once they get disengaged, once they get termed as NEET, which is not an employment, education or training, they very quickly become lost to society. They are deemed as a financial burden, because very many of them will go on to benefits. So we have launched this programme,
which Lynn Peterson is joining us in a bit to tell us all about it.
Yeah. So Lynn will be telling us all about it. But if we lose those riding schools, where will those young people go? And, you know, we've had some fantastic success stories, even in the small pilot programme that we've been running so far. So it's not just about, you know, children and adults riding. And very often the perception is, oh, if you ride a horse, you've got to be rich. That's not the case at all. You know, and a lot of people who own a horse, they will not have expensive holidays or a smart car, because they enjoy riding and they invest their time in their recreation and their hobby, and all of those things will be lost and they won't come back, because it's very rare that someone wakes up of a morning and says, the new business is going to be a riding school. That just doesn't happen. So once they're gone, there'll be no coming back.
In my local area, 3 riding schools have shut down in the last 2 years, and it's heartbreaking. And either that land, in one case the land became development land, in another case they just couldn't afford to keep going, and there's only really 3 left, and that's so heartbreaking. because like I said, you know it benefits the children so much, and in many aspects adults are going into riding now too who have maybe never ridden before, because they want to get fit and they want to do something different, they maybe don't like the gym. And I wish you the very best of luck, and thank you for organising all of this on our behalf. Please do let us know how you get on.
Yeah, we will do.
So how can we follow you on Twitter?
@ British Horse, and there'll be updates on our rates campaign, plus lots of other exciting things that the British Horse Society are doing.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah.
That's okay. That's brilliant. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm at the National Equine Forum all day today, and I'll be bringing you interviews with guest speakers, with some of the experts. We'll be live tweeting the conversations that are taking place, and photos too, so you can get involved in what's happening at the NEF. Tweet us your questions. What do you think about some of the subjects that are being talked about? Just use # horsehour, # NEF17. The experts here are talking in detail about how we can make changes to the industry. How can we improve our equestrian industry? And you're part of that as well. So do tweet us your opinions and your questions. I will speak to you very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.